Time now to turn our attention to something that's hyper-local, and that is Measure C. This morning, we're welcoming three guests who are going to represent the opposition to Napa County Measure C. And if we can, I'm going to kind of go down the row here, make no assumptions that our audience knows everyone. So introduce yourselves, please, and tell us who you are, and that'll get us started.
Hi, Barry. Good morning. I'm Dave Whitmer. I was the Napa County Agricultural Commissioner for 20 years, worked for the County of Napa in the Department of Agriculture for 33, been retired for about 4 years, and came kind of out of retirement because I believe Measure C is really bad for our community.
All right. Guest number one, and guest number two, please.
Morning, Barry. Phil Blake. I served 28 years here in Napa County as a district conservationist with Natural Resources Conservation Service. Currently also agriculture and natural resources advisor in my retirement. And I came into this at the invitation of the Farm Bureau initially and got pretty fired up about it. I did a lot of work over the years with the Napa County Conservation Regulations, and I see some real threats to conservation and conservation programs because of Measure C.
Okay. And guest number three.
Hi, I'm Jerry Hansen-Gill, and I'm CEO of Sustainable Napa County. I am also on the Napa County Planning Commission, and I am not retired.
Okay, very good. So to set the stage for us a little bit, Measure C is called the Watershed and Oak Woodland Protection Act. And what it does, as I understand it in the simplest possible terms, is it puts limits on the cutting of oak trees specifically, and it adds additional setbacks from streams. Are there other components? And Phil, let me ask you to start with this. Are there other aspects to it beyond that simple description?
That's pretty much it in a nutshell. Okay. It's the setbacks, right, and it's the limitations on oak tree removal, but the assumptions that Measure C makes are things that are quite concerning. Mm-hmm. Measure C is very dismissive of the conservation regulations that are in place. In fact, in the initiative that generated Measure C, there's really no mention of the conservation regulations whatsoever. And those regulations, for the average citizen, their eyes kind of glaze over when you get into those details and you start going down the list of all of the things and all the ways that land conversion is regulated in this county. Measure C actually takes the focus off of oak tree preservation. We lost millions of oak trees in the recent wildfires. That's where the focus needs to be in our oak woodlands, is restoring millions of trees instead of hundreds or perhaps thousands of trees. Over a period of time, we can be far more effective putting things like Measure C down and getting people back to the table to talk about some of the real issues and the real things that protect the watershed. Another aspect of Measure C is it leaves the voter, I think, with the impression that vineyards and vineyard conversions in the hillsides are a primary source of water quality degradation in the county. The report that was developed by the EPA, the Water Board, and the San Francisco Estuary Institute, Clearwater Associates, Stillwater Associates, back in the mid-90s, early 2000s, found that the combination, not just vineyards, but the combination of grazing land and vineyards added up to a yearly annual input of only 26.4% of the sedimentation in the Napa River that caused the listing of the Napa River were due to those causes. The other impacts are other land uses that Measure C simply dismisses and disregards and does not include.
Yeah, Barry, I just believe that Measure C kind of is confusing in the way that it's put out. I think it's going to confuse not just landowners with what they're able to do, but it's also going to confuse the people that are in charge of implementing Measure C in terms of creating conflicting kinds of things. The reality is that there isn't any scientific analysis that I'm aware of that indicates a need for changes to the current conservation regulations. They're serving us well, and this idea that the sky is falling and something has to be done in order for us to protect our watersheds and increase water quality is just a fallacy. I believe also that the initiative process is the wrong way to legislate. I'm concerned as a person who regulated for 33 years and was in charge of enforcing laws and regulations. I can tell you that there is always a need to take a program that if you're going to change and implement a new regulatory program, you want to take it out and you want to work with it, and then there's always a need to tweak it, to make it better, to try and figure out how to work the laws and regulations better with the landowner. In this particular situation with an initiative, any changes, any tweaks to what Measure C would put into the law would have to be changed by another initiative, a whole nother process where the voters decide. To me, that's not a very smart way to legislate. It also, the initiative process takes away from our community the opportunity for us to come together. We've demonstrated here in Napa County over the years how good we are at being able to recognize problems when they're brought forward and sit down around a table and really kind of pull together as a community and make decisions. It requires compromise, no question. But an initiative process relegates that to two people going behind closed doors writing, you know, what they believe the world ought to look like, and then bringing it out to the community. Us having this kind of debate over the airwaves is really not the way we ought to be solving these important issues. If there was something really wrong with the process and the system that we have in place, I believe that the folks that I know who are the land, you know, stewardship folks in our community, they'd be implementing it. We'd be sitting down and figuring out ways to make changes to the conservation regs. Science just hasn't proven that we've got a problem out there that needs to be solved.
Mm-hmm. Now, again, we're talking with Phil Blake, Dave Whitmer, and Jerry Hansen here representing the opposition to Measure C, which is the Watershed and Oak Woodland Protection Initiative. I did want to point out that the way I've always liked to approach these issues is to hear from each side before there's any kind of a debate format created, and I hope we can do that later down the road. We did have Mike Hackett and his co-author of this measure on the show some months back now, and I asked for representatives like yourselves at a previous time, and this is our first chance to have you on the air. So
right.
This is
Thank
the
you.
Other side of the story from hearing from the proponents a few weeks back. Eventually, again, I hope we'll get both sides in the room. We can hash it out a little bit. Jerry, tell us your perspectives on this, coming at this from your Sustainable Napa County perspective, for mm-hmm. example.
Yeah, I think Dave covered it quite well. There's sort of categories of concern. One of them is, in fact, this lack of science and reliable data. You know, good policy decisions are made on facts and sound science, and by their very nature seek to solve a problem. And what we can't identify is really what the problem that this initiative seeks to solve. And so what we are looking for is information about the solutions, but without the problem. And so Dave also mentioned something that concerns me personally, but also is really built into the DNA of Sustainable Napa County, and that is this approach. And I wholeheartedly agree that initiatives and the initiative process really take away our opportunity to have the kinds of conversations that we need to have as a community to solve the problems that are identified and that we need to address together. We may not all agree all the time, but the kind of thinking and ideas that this community is capable of putting forward has shown itself in prior issues, like the flood control project, for example. We said, you know, That's just not how we want to do it here, and we found a better way. And so this process takes away our opportunity to have a dialogue as a community and maybe not always agree, but really get to the heart of why we disagree and then find the problems and find the solutions. This is a real blanket approach to an unidentified yet unproven problem. And I think that that's unfortunate. Our community deserves better. We know we can do better. We've done it before. And I think that that's, in this particular case, there are things that we probably need to revisit. We need to talk about the interface between the conservation regulations and the erosion control plans and all of the various policies and rigorous environmental regulations that we already have in place. How are they interfacing? Do they need to be updated? Do they need to be looked at again? The other piece is that we have some very innovative and progressive, successful programs that go far beyond just compliance and just regulatory frameworks. I will use Napa Green as an example. This is an above and beyond regulatory program, certification program. Usually, on these, in these cases, and I will say a majority of the time, if you get folks around a table to come up with a program, to participate in a program like a Napa Green or other stewardship programs, they on their own will find creative and innovative ways to reach beyond what a normal regulatory or policy would require. And so we have that in the example, again, of Napa Green, the Rutherford Dust Society's River Restoration Project. All of those are voluntary, and voluntary doesn't mean less stringent. Voluntary often means well above what we are requiring of people. So I think there's some tremendous opportunity. There's a re-oaking program already in our valley. So how do we bring all of these pieces together so that we're using the regulatory pieces and the innovative voluntary pieces and really accomplish something that does help our environment, that supports our economy, and that brings the community into the process? And those are the three key elements of sustainability that we talk about: the environment, the economy, and social equity and community engagement. Mm-hmm. And this does not accomplish any of those.
Yeah. Okay. It's ironic when you look back at the history here in Napa County, going back to 1991 when the conservation regulations were initiated. We have a incredible history of land stewardship in this county. There's nothing I've seen, and I've traveled the country, I've traveled the world dealing with conservation issues, and there's nothing that compares with what we're doing here in Napa County. Land stewardship, voluntary processes always, always should be the first alternative. Regulation should always be the last alternative. And when we have so many wonderful programs, as Jerry mentioned, the Acorns to Oaks program, the RCDs program, LandSmart, the Napa Green that Jerry mentioned, the Land Trust of Napa County that is preserving tens of thousands of oak woodlands with voluntary processes, with tax incentives, numerous agricultural properties and other rural properties that are participating in these programs. They can only get better. They can only expand this regulation. And quite frankly, putting an initiative on the ballot, 18 pages worth of discussion, arcane processes that Measure C puts forth. Is this really fair to the voters? The average voter that talks to me and wants to know my perspective glazes over when I start getting into the aspects of stream setbacks and oak woodland protection and how that all plays together watershed protection. It's not fair to the voters to put these kinds of things before them. These are the kinds of things that should be worked out like we did in 1998 through 2000 with the Napa River Watershed Task Force. An attempt was made to take those things and adjust the conservation regulations. It became a ballot measure in 2004 and split into two aspects, Measures O, Measures P. The voters voted both of those things down, largely due to the confusion of the whole thing, but voted it down 60% no, 63% no, excuse me, on Measure P, which was the more moderate initiative for stream setbacks.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more, Phil, about the conservation regulations that you referenced here specifically. And we can't get into a lot of detail, it's radio, and it is complicated. But because there are so many aspects that are regulated, people should know what the limitations are on planting a vineyard, for example.
Yes. Yeah, well, dating back to the late 80s, I got here in 82, and there was a lot of conversion going on in the hillsides of all kinds, all land uses, residential and vineyard. We had the Bell Canyon incident in September of 1989, turbidity meters at the water treatment plant in Bell Canyon, the water source for St. Helena, totally. They had to shut the plant down.
Yeah. For those who don't remember, that was a erosion example from a hillside that had been ripped and prepared for planting but wasn't protected against erosion, and the soil washed down into the Bell Canyon Reservoir.
Correct, yeah. And, you know, there are certainly other incidents as well. But those regulations were enacted. We met with the Planning Commission. There was two of us, Frank Gray, who was a biologist with Fish and Wildlife, myself, and it was very controversial. Nobody wanted to get into heavy-handed regulations. We all wanted to exhaust the land stewardship, but it was evident that there was going to be problems out there, and unless we took responsibility and the county took responsibility in enacting some kind of regulation, the problem was going to only get worse. Mm-hmm. That combined with the technologies that we were developing and the very primordial beginnings of sustainable agriculture techniques were just coming into phase at that time. Mm-hmm. So really what we ended up with was a template for a program that educated growers and at the same time set parameters that they had to meet, targets that they had to meet on erosion control, water quality protection, setting back from streams to provide buffers for habitat. These were all brand new things. We had bulldozers in February of 1986 ripping hillsides in Napa County. That's how bad it was, and clearly something needed to be done. Those regulations evolved in 1998. The county was challenged, and over the fact that they had a discretionary program that did not have the full complement of California Environmental Quality Act overseeing it. Those things changed in 98, 2000, right around in that area. Mm-hmm. Totally transformed it to the point where today, when you want to plant a vineyard in Napa County, you go out, you get a biologist. That biologist, to the gnat's eyebrow, walks that property, looks at every kind of potential plant or species that could be impacted by that land conversion, and develops a biological resources assessment that has to be followed. The county requires that all aspects of that, seasonal wetland protection, stream protection, protection of the sensitive species and habitats, all has to be addressed. Now the county's developed sensitive watersheds in the Napa County that may not be converted at all. And the other ironic thing to me is some of the proponents, some of the letters to the editor that say Measure C is going to take off and be the next ag preserve element in having protected our watersheds in Napa County. That is so erroneous. Go back, I mean, it's not sexy, I know, going back to 1991, but going back to the 27 years, excuse me, that the regulations have been in place, those regulations have prevented more damage, more problems in the Napa River watershed than you can even note on paper. Just the 30% slope limitation. Most of the ag watershed, most of the lands in our hillsides are over, steeper than 30% slope. The conservation regulations pretty much, especially for agricultural use, puts a prohibition on that.